This is the Inside Slant Football Podcast.
And here we go, here we go.
Brought to you by JayhawkSlant.com. Broadcasting around the world.
Around the world.
We have the latest on KU recruiting, analysis, and what the coaches and players are saying behind the scenes. Here are your hosts, Randy Withers and John Kirby.
Hey, everybody. Happy Thanksgiving. This is Randy Withers. We're back with a football-only edition of the Inside Slant podcast from JayhawkSlant.com. We are gearing up for the Thanksgiving season. Actually, the Thanksgiving season is upon us. We are just hours away from beginning the feast of family and football and fellowship that is this great holiday. We're excited to give you a little something to enjoy, maybe while you're waiting for that turkey to be ready on the, you know, come out of the oven, waiting for those sweet potatoes to get cooked, baked just right with the cinnamon and the marshmallow sauce on top. With that, we're going to stick to just football because it's a football time of year. We'll bring Shay back in for basketball as things kind of crank up as basketball gets ready to go play Florida on our next podcast. We'll get into some hoops at that point. This episode, we're sticking to football. We're going to talk about the progress of the Kansas football program under head coach Lance Leipold. We will have our good friend Brandon McAnderson join us to talk about the latest commitment to the Jayhawks. Maybe some news that some people aren't aware of in the commitment of Mississippi Gulf Coast linebacker Mike Smith to the Kansas Jayhawks. We've got plenty to cover, plenty to get you overstuffed before it's time for stuffing. Before we get into that, let me bring in my good friend John Kirby, the publisher of Jayhawk Slant, the man on the Kansas football beat. John, happy Thanksgiving, man.
Same to you, man. What a great time of year this is, right? I mean, you and I were talking about this before we got in the studio. I mean, you got Thanksgiving. You know, you get mm-hmm. a little time away from the office sometimes. There's all kinds of football on. You got football, Mississippi and Ole Miss and Mississippi State tomorrow night. I'm interested to watch that. And then you got, you got football all day Friday, all day Saturday. You got some high school games for us local guys who follow that. So, I mean, it's like the best of all worlds. And then leftover Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah. And that's the thing. A fully stocked refrigerator with plenty of leftovers. That's what makes the football that much better. And, you know, I mentioned sweet potatoes earlier. Everybody, I saw a thing earlier pop up in my Facebook feed, and I thought it was really funny. It said, just everybody be honest. Just get rid of the turkey because nobody likes it anyway. Just eat sides for Thanksgiving. And the more I've thought about this, I'm like, this is a good point right here.
Well, we're going over. My mom always cooks, but this Thanksgiving, we're going over to my wife's brother. So my mom, she says, hey, I'm still cooking. So when you guys are done there, get over here because I'm going to have a whole nother. So after we're done with our first stop, we got to drive to my mom's who's got this whole Thanksgiving feast she wants us to bring back home. So with two teenage boys in the house, I'm telling you that Thanksgiving, that extra meal being planned will go a long ways.
That should at least get you guys through, what, Saturday?
Yeah, Saturday. I always love coming downstairs. You know, I get up pretty early in the morning, and I'll come downstairs, and there'll always be two plates of just, like, you know, food sitting on the counter because I think my teenagers must come down about midnight and start raiding the fridge.
Oh, that's awesome. I'm excited. We're heading out. My wife, Erica, and I, we're going to go out and meet my parents out at my aunt's house in Bonner Springs and hang out with our extended family. This is a big deal. And it's with everything that's happened in the last couple of years, I think this is really the first major holiday since COVID allowed us to start kind of shifting back to a little bit more normal life. And so this is the first time we're going to get a chance to be around my extended family. So I'm really excited about that and looking forward to it, and going to eat a whole heck of a lot of food, obviously. My mom's sweet potatoes are going to be there. That's literally all I am. That's the most important thing for me because that's tradition. But I am excited for lots of turkey, lots of ham, lots of handmade stuffing, all kinds of stuff. I know everybody always says this. Everything's good with Thanksgiving. Let me ask you the question that's been on. It's been a topic for a couple of days now after what Matthew Judon's comments from the New England Patriots about macaroni and cheese shouldn't even be on the table. What is your opinion of macaroni and cheese, John Kirby?
Oh, man, I don't think there's any rules. Hey, whatever tastes good, whatever tastes good. Now, I will tell you this. My mom makes this green bean casserole and those homemade mashed potatoes and gravy, and I'm going, good Lord, I'm going to be on the couch in about an hour. I'll be on the couch in and out.
See, and that's one of the things that I remember. My grandmother, she actually passed away a long time ago. She actually passed the day after commencement for my undergrad at KU. And she made mashed potatoes, excuse me. Her mashed potatoes were like satin. They were so smooth. Like she started, I mean, everything was handmade. Everything was made from scratch. They were the most unbelievably fluffy, creamy, perfect mashed potatoes you will ever have in your entire life. And so I'd be sitting there, I'd have like a bunch of ham in the middle of the plate, and I'd have a ton of mashed potatoes on one side, ton of sweet potatoes on the other side. And that was literally, I was like, that's heaven. That right there. That is nirvana for me. So now that we've talked about Thanksgiving, we've talked about food, we've talked about football, and man, there is a lot of really good football this weekend. Let's hear a little audio clip about from one of our everybody's favorites right now, Kansas quarterback Jalen Daniels. Kirby, you had a chance to talk with him a little bit about his Thanksgiving plans, and this is a young man who obviously is having a heck of a fall. And now he's going to get a chance to spend some time with his family. Let's hear from him and what he's got planned for tomorrow.
I actually have not had a home-cooked Thanksgiving meal for my family since 2019. And my mom and my dad are actually coming out here this Thursday morning, you know, to cook some stuff up at the house. So it should be a great time with me and my roommates that I have. My mom's coming in. You know, she's going to make her famous sweet potato yams. She's going to make some baked beans that grandma made, and I'm just sad that my grandma can't be out here, but definitely going to spend some time with my family, my teammates, and my friends. Your first year away from home, Thanksgiving-wise, it's like, wow, this is real. I'm not home. So it's something that I've been waiting on. You know, my mom surprised me yesterday when she told me that she was going to come out here and do it. So I'm just happy. I'm excited. I'm so ready for my mom to be out here and cook. I'm going to definitely go help her out since I haven't been able to help my mom cook it in a while since I've been back home. So it's just definitely an exciting feeling.
What are you listed at as in the guide right now, weight-wise?
210.
So what are you going to be, about 215?
Yeah, no, probably about 225, messing with my mom. Especially with the leftovers after the next couple of days.
Thanks, Jalen.
Yes, sir.
That's hilarious. And first off, I don't think anybody would mind if we could get Jalen Daniels up to, you know, 2.25. 225 with his athleticism and that arm and the way the ball explodes out of his hands, I don't think it's going to affect his release much. You know, I think we'd be fine with that. Now I'm going to go ahead, Kirby, I'm going to give it back to you. Let's head on over to the studio line. I mentioned earlier our good friend Brandon McAnderson was going to be joining us. One of the voices of the Kansas football radio broadcast, the sideline analyst for KU football. Let's hear from him and just what he has seen as the continuing kind of turning of this thing. You know, they haven't turned the corner, but just the progress that we're seeing in this first season from Lance Leipold. Let's hear from somebody who knows this program maybe better than anybody else, Brandon McAnderson.
Thanks, Randy. We are joined by Brandon McAnderson, former Orange Bowl captain, sideline reporter for the Jayhawks. I don't even know why I give him an introduction. Everybody knows who Brandon McAnderson is. He follows KU football as close as anybody. Brandon, how you doing?
I'm doing great, man. Ready for this Thanksgiving, ready to get some turkey on.
All right, so tell me, what are your plans for Thanksgiving, you and the family?
I'm hosting this year. I'm tackling the turkey. I've been watching game film for 2 weeks. I'm going to go coach Kotelniki, maybe go tackle over. you know, try to get that turkey wing in the end zone. But I got some plans for sure.
Yeah, and hopefully you're ready for the blitz.
Absolutely.
All right, man. You've been down on the sidelines. You've watched this team up close, closer than anybody. Just what's it been like watching this team progress in recent weeks?
Man, I can't even describe it. I have such a warm feeling about this team and about what I'm seeing, and it's like in my whole life. You know, I texted my wife how much I loved her probably 5 minutes after that game. You know, it's just like I'm just so happy watching the progress that they've made and how competitive they've been and how sound of a football team that they are. It's been a pleasure to watch.
So, B-Mac, what are some things that you see from the guys specifically that you like?
So, one, I like that they're answering the bell. So, my favorite part of it, of that game Saturday, was the physicality. I think that was the most physical game, KU football game, I've watched in a decade. And, you know, I've watched all of them. So, that one was special. I mean, Kenny Logan, I mean, everybody that number one hit needed an ice bath. And that's kind of how our rebuild, the rebuild I was a part of, that was how it came about, was physicality, you know, just coming out and hitting people. And they had all of that, man. Rich Miller was thumping, Ricky Thomas, Kyron Johnson, the defensive line, you know, that play Ronald McGee made to run down the check down on third and six,
yes,
to make it fourth,
yes,
and one that led to a stop. So all these little bitty things that, you know, in the past, these are just plays that this team was not prepared to make. And now they're making them with regularity.
Okay, so tell me this. As a senior, going through senior day, what kind of extra motivation can that give the seniors and then the team?
I mean, it could give you a ton simply because this is the last time you're going to do it. This is the last time you're going to play in your uniform, the last time you're going to play in your building. I think there's just a level of juice that you can get to, especially with the progress that this team has made. You know, you're talking about a 2-9 team. You're probably thinking, what do they have to play for? I would say everything. You know, legacies. Guys like Kwame Lassiter, who's been able to, you know, build his own legacy, end up being a top five receiver in his own right. And I think a lot of these people are eager to put their stamp on what they've built here. And I think this opportunity will present itself for a lot of guys on senior night.
All right, so one final game, West Virginia at home. What do you want to see from these guys on Saturday night?
Just that continued fight. You know, what they put on film against TCU, which I thought was physicality, the ability to execute, the ability to recover from some tough circumstances. Because you can make the argument that Texas and Oklahoma, you could say, oh, these were the perfect storm. You know, they were flat and Kansas was hot and blah, blah, blah. But that, none of that applied to this TCU game. If there was regular adversity that they had seen. They were down 2 touchdowns, scored in, 2-3 minutes on a 75-yard drive. So they answered the bell in every way imaginable. I want them to continue to build on that. I want them to be able to be in close games like they were in this contest and continue to build off of that, because that's one thing you can't simulate in practice. You can't get out of spring ball. It's being in real-life situations and having to try to figure them out. And this team in that game in Fort Worth figured them out. They figured them out against Texas, and that is a great, great sign moving forward.
All right, so being part of the Mangino years, okay, and watching what you've watched this year, does any of this remind you of that?
So that last game definitely reminded me of 2004, just because of the physical nature of play. That's what really got me going, because I'm like, you know, these guys, there was a play where, you know, Kenny scored. The guy got that touchdown that they called, which I'm not even sure he scored. Kenny Logan had a kind of charge in him. And, you know, you saw guys like Edwin Whiteshold, the true freshman. He got a chance to get in there. He made a nice play. So it wasn't just 1, 2, 3 people. That physical part reminded me a lot of what we did in 2004. And that's how we built our team, was just going out there and hitting people in the mouth. And this team has not necessarily gone through that process. But what I like about it is that you can hear their fan base say, you can hear our coaches say, physicality, physicality, physicality. That's all they talk about in press conferences. You do them all. physicality. Well, it was nice to see all of that translate onto the field in a big way, you know, with two red zone stops, one on a fourth and one, one on the Jacoby Bryant interception. That physicality has become more than something they talk about. It's something that they're instituting in every game.
Yeah, and B-Mac, my last question for you. So going into the offseason, what can a win or even a competitive game or already what we've seen that these kids have got to start seeing and believing like they have, what can that do for an offseason and take you into that?
Well, I think it's already laying a pretty good foundation in that. I think that the transfer portal is just something that I think it's good for players. I think it's good for programs. You know, I know big picture, it's hard to imagine that to be true, but these are real life decisions and people want to project their futures, and that's something they're going to do for their whole lives. And what I like about what this charge has meant is that these players are aware of how close they are to flipping this. And being good at Kansas is different than being good anywhere else. It's just one of those things where you play well here, you change things here, your accomplishments and the things that you've done for this program will live forever. And I think some of them realize they're on the cusp of this opportunity. And I think it just helps them dial into, you know, helping get people on campus and recruiting themselves. You know, when they host recruits, helps them work harder in the weight room, something that, you know, Coach Gildersleeve got immediate results on. Imagine what he's going to do with the whole offseason.
All right, B-Mac, you're the man. Always love your insight. Now, next time I have you on, I may have to have your wife on to tell us the real story of how the turkey turned out.
Yes, you'll be a tough critic, but I guarantee you, hey, we're going to get 1% better at making turkey like those light bulbs said every day.
That's good stuff. Hey, B-Mac, happy Thanksgiving to you, man. We'll see you Saturday.
Same to you, John. We'll see you soon.
Kirby, it's always good to hear from B-Mac. I wanted to ask you about a column that you put up on Saturday after the TCU game that, you know, I talked about the progress that we're seeing and kind of getting B-Mac's impressions on it. And you're somebody that you have covered Kansas football longer than anybody. You have seen so many different regimes, and maybe more than that. You've seen what works versus what doesn't. You pointed out that the progress is happening faster than you expected it would. Expand on that a little bit.
Yeah, Randy, it was right after the TCU game. And I was sitting there and I was going through Leipold's comments, and I was looking at the comments from the players, and I just started thinking back to the Oklahoma game. And it took me back to the beginning against South Dakota. And I'm thinking, God, can you imagine how far this team's come when we're sitting there against South Dakota going, are they going to win this football game? Right? I mean, because that South Dakota game was not a layup. I mean, you're in the fourth quarter and you're going, oh my gosh, man, this is a tight one. So, and then you come through the season, all right? And then it hit me as I was sitting there and it just, a new thought for a new column came up that not only do I think the program has progressed and it's turning faster than I thought. Okay. Because listen, after the non-con, if I'd have told you that Kansas would be beating Oklahoma at half and sitting there with a chance in the fourth quarter where Kansas fans could say, are we going to win this football game against Oklahoma, to going down and beating Texas on the road, turning around and the next week going on the road to Texas again and having a chance to beat TCU, a game you lost on a final field goal in the last seconds. No way. No one would have ever said that. So I think when you look at where this program started to kind of like the middle of the road, if you went and talked to people, they'd have said no way would they expect some of the results Kansas had with being competitive in a lot of these games. So to me, I think, I don't want to say expectations have moved up, but the clock's kind of moved up. I mean, Kansas right now is playing better football and has played better football in several games than a lot of us ever thought they would, especially considering the opponents who they did it against. So that kind of spurred me on to write that column, and I was sitting there listening to Leipold and after the post game at TCU, and when you watch him, you know, you can just see it, you know, he just wants to win, and you can tell he's got things going in the right direction. The players are buying in. You know, TCU, they're down 14 points, probably the biggest stretch, probably the most important stretch of the season to me that showed me this thing is turning. Kansas fell down 14 points in the fourth quarter, and I can't tell you how many times I've watched KU football over the last 10 or 11 years. When that happens, you turn out the lights. Okay?
Yep.
The game's
That's
over.
That.
Okay? But they didn't. They come back and answer quick with, you know, two touchdowns, and they make it 28-28. And I think that's when the bulb went on, and you're like, okay, these guys aren't quitting. They're fighting tooth and nail, and they're making progress, and they're making it fast. So that's what kind of brought me on to write that article, and I just really have been impressed with what they've done. And when I say that, I'm talking about the coaches, the schemes, and the systems they're implementing. You know, I know there's some tackling issues there. Those will get fixed. I really believe that in the off season with maybe in new players, development, Gildersleeve getting them in the strength and conditioning. But the good news, Randy, on missed tackles, and I'm going to touch on that in another story I'm going to write in the next day or so, is they're in the position to make the tackle. That's the good news, okay? Because I've also seen some Kansas teams where someone's not in the gap or someone's not in the area they're supposed to be. So the good news is they have guys there to make the tackle.
Okay, so you've talked about your reaction after seeing the battle against TCU and the way this team fought. Let's talk about Saturday against West Virginia. What do you see happening against the Mountaineers?
Well, so Randy, a week ago when you and I are sitting here talking about the TCU game, I said to you, this game is so hard to predict because I don't know which TCU team's going to show up, okay? And again, we can always say this for every game, but I said that, and you know what we got? We saw a TCU team in the first half that wasn't as crisp, okay? Just not as sharp. And then we saw a TCU team in the second half look pretty good. So when I said that going into the TCU game, which team are we going to see show up? We didn't know. And what's funny is we saw two different sides of TCU last week. And that's the same question I ask about West Virginia, because when you turn on the film and you watch West Virginia, you sit here and you say, are these guys really coming to Lawrence to try to get bowl eligible? Because they have some players. They really do. Is this going to be the West Virginia team that beat Iowa State? Is it going to be the West Virginia team that went on the road and beat TCU by a couple touchdowns? Or is it going to be the team that didn't look that great against Kansas State? So, you know, it's hard to predict this. I like the Daigie kid at quarterback. Letty Brown, the running back, really concerns me. 60% of his yards are coming after contact, and that is not a good stat. So the defense is going to have to wrap up. They're going to have to play a good game. He is a physical running back. The O-line's okay. Winston Wright, they got a good group of receivers there. So I'm telling you, when you watch West Virginia, you're going to look at them and you're going to say, hey, man, these guys, they look the part and they're physical. Up front on defense, they got Dante Stills and Akeem Mesidor. I mean, they've got some linebackers that can run. So, you know, they kind of come and go with their O-line play and how Deggie plays. So this is one of these games. It is hard to predict. God, I saw that line of what I think it started at 17. It's down to 15. God, I'd probably take the Jayhawks in the points on that. You know, West Virginia is going to come in here. Now, I do think this is a big deal. They found a way to beat Texas last week, which gave them 5 wins. So now they're coming to Lawrence. It's a night game. Who knows what the crowd's going to be like? This is a type of game sometimes. One of KU's opponents could sleepwalk a little bit, okay? But I don't think so. I don't think West Virginia is going to be like that. You know, they've been banged up a little bit. They've lost some players who provided them some depth in the portal. But boy, I tell you, I was just a little disappointed going back and watching some of their film because they're just a little bit better than I thought they'd be. Randy, this is one of those games that you it's a last game. You want to go with your heart a little bit and pick the upset. I can't right now. I can't. I'm going to say a competitive game. Jayhawks keep showing progress. They keep moving forward. They build on things in the offseason. I'm going to go West Virginia 31, Kansas 23. Give me yours.
I look at this game and I kind of have a feeling that the scoring isn't going to be as high as we've seen lately. I think both of the defenses come into this and play well. More than anything, I think that Kansas with the injuries at some of the skill positions and just they're kind of worn down. I think after everything that's happened and the near misses and everything and the battles against Oklahoma and against TCU and the win over Texas, I just don't think they've got much left. And I am very much also hoping to be pleasantly surprised. That being said, I see this one, West Virginia 27, Kansas 13.
You like the West Virginia defense, huh?
I do. I do. But I think more than it may not even be so much that West Virginia defense, which I think is solid and is a good is maybe has a little bit of an edge in the matchup against the Kansas offense. I think it's the matchup against the Kansas offense right now. I think missing, you know, with the injuries they've got, the fact that Devin Neal is banged up, the fact that, you know, Jalen Daniels has been taking shots, the fact that the man who catches apparently everything, Jared Casey, may, you know, he's a little bit banged up, Trevor Cardell, a lot of guys. There are a lot of guys that, you know, are showing the effects of a full season in college football right now.
Yeah, and you know, I think I will say this, and, you know, I when we do our opposing view article on Friday mornings, Keenan Cummings will be on and handle that. And you know, he talked about they're banged up too. And I think when you get into week 12, I don't know that anybody's healthy, but KU in some spots at tight end, running back is really banged up, right? Yes. So you're just hoping they got enough, like you said, in the tank, you know, for one more week to get some performances from guys.
I agree. I would love to see, you know, Jalen Daniels and Amari Pesek-Hickson be able to put something together and also see this offensive line, which we have seen so much growth from that offensive line. And the job that Scott Fuchs has done is, I don't know if there's a better assistant coach in America. I'm just going to say that. I would love to see that group specifically be able to kind of put a bow on this thing with a big win over West Virginia on Saturday. And prove me wrong, but it's going to take a lot. But hey, they've been surprising us for the last 3-4 weeks, John. Why not keep it up? So I know that you have said for a while, you've been talking on the boards and we've been talking on this podcast to be ready for a crazy November and December for recruiting. And here we are. In the midst of it, before we get into that, I mentioned earlier, there's a little bit of news, and the Jayhawks just picked up a commitment from Mississippi Gulf Coast Community College linebacker Mike Smith. Let's hear from him. Kirby, you've got a little bit of sound from the latest commitment to the Kansas Jayhawks.
Hey, first of all, tell me about committing to KU. Congratulations, by the way.
Yes. Because they decided to, you know, take a chance on me. I feel like they're building good things there. And it's just about getting players, getting the right players in and everything. And I feel like the coaching staff there is here to change the program around.
Yeah, tell me about Coach Simpson.
He's been a good person to get to know. He's real upfront, honest, and I trust that he's going to, you know, be the best coach he can be for me personally, and I just feel like he's really good at what he does, and I just feel like he can help me better myself on and off the field.
You know, tell me about, I heard you talk to Coach Leipold when you committed. Just what was it like talking to Coach, and just, you know, describe that conversation?
It was amazing. Just talking to him, and, you know, I could feel the leadership coming from him. He knows that he's building something special here, and he just, you know, wants to make sure that I'm on board and that, you know, this is something that I want to be a part of.
So tell me, what Coach Simpson, what did he tell you he likes about your game and your film?
He loved the way that I can play in space, and the way I can play at multiple positions and be very versatile enough. I don't have to come off the field much and everything, and he could put a lot on my plate and I'll be able to handle it.
So can you play, like, inside and outside?
Yes, sir, inside and outside. You know, I really just want to help the defense any way I can. I played linebacker. I played inside and outside in junior college. And this past year, I went from outside linebacker to a free safety. So I did everything I could to help our team win games.
So how's it feel, man? How's it feel for you to commit to a Big 12 school? And, you know, I'm sure that's a, you know, a pretty good step in your career.
It feels feels amazing. The main thing was it was just proving to me that I could, that I have people that see that I can play on that level. It was really just something being proven, not just to other people, but to myself also.
Okay, Kerb, with the Smith commitment in the books, what's the latest on recruiting, and tell us how you think things could play out over the next couple weeks?
Well, Randy, I told everybody, brace for a crazy November and December, and we're about ready in the craziness. On this, a week ago in the podcast, I told you that in the FCS, I said their season ends early, and you're going to start seeing FCS kids jump in the portal. What have you seen for the last 4 days? It's FCS player after FCS player. After this weekend, a lot of Division I teams in their regular season, and get ready, because you're going to see this thing go nuts next week. Kids are going to be entering the portal left and right. So that's one of the things that I think you got to be ready for. Now, there's going to be some official visits this weekend, okay? Deshaun Singleton, safety from Hutchison will be in. Defensive end, Nadame Tucker, who's a teammate of his, will be in. Tavita Noah, a tight end from Snow. He's been committed to TCU. He's opened it up a little bit. He visited Boise State. He's going to visit Kansas. Houston's been on him. So there's some schools starting to come in on him. The word's out. This guy is a nasty blocker. I'll have a story on him soon. We're going to see another kid. This is going to be a portal guy. I'm going to talk about this on the message boards. We're not going to talk about it on the podcast, but I think I've tracked down a new visitor, and this guy is somebody, if they can get him, would be a difference maker on the defense. Some unofficial visitors. Here's a new one for you, too. Gavin Myers, linebacker out of Hayes. He had some early offers from K-State, Nebraska, Louisville. Okay. He'll be in Lawrence. Communicated with him. He told me he will be in for an unofficial visit. Caleb Purdy won the Conference Defensive Player of the Year. He's committed to KU. He'll be in. Mason Ellis, one of my favorites, one of my sleepers, out of Mulvane,
Kansas.
Hey, he is athletic. I know he ran sub-4.5 at KU's camp. He's got the tools. I mean, that's the type of kid that you can bring in, you know, comes in, he plays with some pride, he's got wheels, he can do a lot of different things, could play special teams. He'll be in once again. You know, he still hasn't decommitted or anything from North Dakota State, so he's holding steady there, so we'll see how that one goes. So those are the main guys, Randy, that I'm watching here over the next week. But like I said, come next week when a lot of these regular seasons in for a lot of these teams, man, it is going to be game on with that transfer portal.
And I just, every time we talk about this, I think how we have officially entered the Wild West of college football. And that's exactly where we are right now. And I'm excited. I'm looking forward to seeing just what this staff can do in what is essentially college football free agency, in addition to obviously continuing to recruit high school players and junior college players. It's awesome. All of it. Put it in my veins, Kirby. Before we do that, though, obviously we have the big day coming tomorrow. And with that in mind, John and I both want to extend our wishes to everybody out there. Have an amazing Thanksgiving. Enjoy this time with your family. If you're not able to be with family, you know, spend some time with friends and just kind of kick back and enjoy it and be thankful for everything that we have right now. Be thankful for the turnaround in this program. Be thankful for Kansas football, for the fact that, gosh, life feels like it's starting to get back to normal. And don't forget, we do have a Kansas basketball game tomorrow afternoon, so that gives you a little something else to watch. For my man John Kirby, I'm Randy Withers. You've been listening to the Inside Slant podcast from JayhawkSlant.com. We will talk with you again soon.